KSDR welcomes you to this week's edition of On the Water and in the Air. It's not always about where the fish are biting or where the birds are flying. It's talk about how to go get them. On the Water and in the Air with your hosts Neil Jensen, Randy Aggermeyer, and Lynn Jurens.
We have a radio show to do.
Oh boy.
Well, that's what
Lynn, are you excited? Are you a little bit excited for pheasant hunting this weekend?
I love pheasant hunting in South Dakota.
I gather that.
Yeah, I do. You know what? It is. It's excitement. I look forward to it every year. You know, this opening weekend's kind of a gentleman's hunt. You kind of
Absolutely.
Have to sit back and relax and hang out with friends and family and maybe make it
I flew into Sioux Falls last night on the 845 flight on possibly the most well-armed airplane in the nation.
They didn't try to hijack that baby, did they?
No, there was camouflage and orange coats everywhere on that plane.
Hey, how do you like old Elmer Bone here today?
I like it.
Elmer Bone is alive and on the radio.
I'm hunting pheasant. All right.
You can't find a red cardigan, you know, in the whole country. They're sold out.
Well, and I suppose they are.
That cute little Ken Bone got up at the Sunday night at the presidential debate and made himself known. He made himself famous.
Do you suppose he woke up Sunday and thought he'd be that famous?
Oh, man. He's been on CNN. He's been on Fox and Friends. Yep. I mean, that kid's been all over.
Another couple days, they'll have some dirt dug up on him, and he'll go down.
Yeah, exactly. You know, throw a shotgun in his hand and an Elmer Fudd hat, and he can come out and see us.
You two could be twins.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, right.
So what do we got going on today, Lynn?
Well, we're going to talk about pheasant hunting. We're going to talk about the biggest weekend in South Dakota.
Schmeckfest.
The population is going up now.
There we go.
Schmeckfest.
It's Schmeckfest.
Yeah, we forgot about Schmeckfest. But, you know, opening weekend of pheasant season, Neil, I thought we'd bring in somebody who actually gets out there, understands, gets to meet a lot of the people that are coming into the state, at least in the paths that he's going to cross over the next few weeks. And we have Nick Rossman with us from the Game Fish and Parks here in the Watertown office, Nick?
Correct, yep.
Yes, and good morning. And a Watertown boy, born and raised here. Woo! Ha ha! All right. Well, Nick, what are we going to see this opening weekend, and what's everyone coming for?
Well, first and foremost, it looks like the weather is going to be perfect.
Absolutely.
Ooh. Absolutely perfect. I think I looked this morning and they're kind of projecting about 70 degree temps and not overly hot for those dogs. And that's where it starts. That's where you can enjoy the weather and everything else after that is just kind of icing on the cake. But
yeah,
you know, our pheasant brood survey results came back and they weren't what we were hoping for. We're down a little bit from the last couple of years, but you know, ultimately, the South Dakota tradition is what's strongest in this state and
yeah.
amongst our residents and non-residents. And people get in a groove, and they ultimately, most of them don't care what the results come back. They just want to have a good time, come back, visit with family, eat some good food, and have a good time, some laughs, and good entertainment. So ultimately, that's what opening weekend and the first couple weekends is about is family
Absolutely.
Tradition.
Pheasants are second.
There'll be
Absolutely.
A lot of stories about, you know, how many years we've been doing this now?
Yep.
You know how many years we've been doing this? Well, let's count it up. Now, Jack and John, they've been coming for 23 years, and old George over here.
Yep. Absolutely.
Man, George, 35 straight years he's been driving in from Wisconsin.
Yep. And, you know, most of the people come out and they don't care if they had any shoot many pheasants anyway. They want the good time. My family comes from California, and I'm telling you, we're not going to hurt the pheasant population one bit in Walworth County. It's the annual meeting of the Walworth County Shoot and Release Club.
Yeah. Kick and shoot?
Yep, that's exactly right.
You guys shoot tame pheasants out there? Or,
no.
Wildy ones?
Wild ones.
Wild ones, yeah.
But we don't shoot many at all. We shoot at them, it seems like.
Are you going to be in Chava?
I'll be out north of Hoven.
North of Hoven. Oh, yeah. I'm probably too far away from you to run into you.
Yep.
We're going to be in Artis.
Are you really?
Yeah, you ever heard of that town?
Of course I've heard of artists.
Harriet
and Pollock.
Shucks.
Unless we get an invite.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Are you going to the cafe and artists?
Well, guess what? Right now, there's probably 15 beds in this old farmhouse, and there's 17 guys staying in there. So that ought to be interesting. And you know who's taking over the house right now?
Who's that?
The mice,
yeah. Well, we had to kick the mice out for the weekend.
That's about what's going to happen. That's part of the part Nick's talking about. Yeah. It's, hey, let's just relax. Let's not shoot anybody. Let's not get too out of hand with the whiskey. Let's just enjoy the weekend and conversation and love of the outdoors.
Hunting this first week until noon. If you have a problem with the whiskey before noon, you've got a whole lot of other problems other than not shooting a pheasant.
That is one thing that you know most don't do, but still someone has to try it once in a while. It's mix the booze with the gun, but
and you know more and more. That's little. Thank God that's gone by the wayside.
You know it has, yeah. That was kind of an old fashioned, old time day. So
as we've seen the pheasant hunters get more educated, more.
They've seen more people get shot by now.
Yep. So yeah. They're just one doing it.
So anyway, Nick, you are real correct. The camaraderie, the great people of South Dakota get to be showcased this week, and that's what people come back for.
Yep.
It's not the big city, all out for yourself. Go home, throw your car in the garage, and don't talk to anybody. This is we still talk to each other out here.
You bet. Yeah, it's South Dakota tradition. It's hard to break. I mean, everybody has got their own little thing that they do with their family, whether it's a big feast the night before, whether it's a big brunch breakfast. And I know some family traditions, they don't even start hunting until 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening because they have a big lunch. Maybe they'll shoot some trap or skeet in the farmyard and just kind of get the rust off the old shotgun. And
some stop at the Catholic Church in Henry.
Yeah. Yes, they do on the way back.
The big old dinner. Yep. You can't hardly get through 212. It's almost blocked off from all the people.
At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there's people lining up deep over there. That's something.
And they do that all across South Dakota, those types of things.
Everybody's got their weekends. You know, this weekend is
make a little money, too.
Two big weekends in South Dakota where people come in. Yeah. This one and that one in August. The August one is when we're at our worst. Now is when South Dakota's at our best. Yeah. It's great to be out here.
Yeah.
Great to see the people.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, we're looking forward to hopefully seeing a lot of residents and a lot of non-residents still coming out and enjoying what South Dakota has to offer. And again, that the weather is huge. It just makes it that much more enjoyable when you don't have to watch your dog so close. It is still important, and 70 degrees is still warm. You still have to make sure you let your dog rest between long walks and make sure that water is available. Because let's be honest, around here, we are a little dry, and a lot of these sloughs and temporary seasonal wetlands aren't full of water. So, if you're walking these type of areas, a lot of times the dogs can go out and swim around or get a drink and lay down and cool off in the water. But some of those traditional bodies, small temporary seasonal wetlands, might not have water in. So make sure you bring plenty of water, because dog health is extremely important, and we see it quite frankly, it's pretty common.
Absolutely. They haven't been exercising them. They haven't been getting them ready. They're overweight. The owner's overweight.
I was gonna say, you're talking about the hunters now, right? Who's going to give me water at the end of the field?
Yeah, they just think these dogs now can go run for 5 straight hours. And there's, to be honest with you, a lot of people out on opening weekend don't have a dog. So if you have a dog, which in my case, this little rascal is going to be working overtime.
Ibs.
Yeah, they're going to be handling, probably pheasants for 5, 6, 7 people. And this is the weekend where the dogs that shouldn't be out come out also.
Yeah, it's tough on them. The guys,
the ones
that
end up at the other end of the field. And
yeah, next county over.
Yeah. Yeah, we should have brought our top 10 lists of goofy things that happen on opening weekend.
We had it when I guided in Pollock.
Have you ever heard that list?
Oh, no, but I have my own list.
But you have your own list.
We had a guy in Pollock one time, and his dog got out, and the minute it got out of the pickup, it darted to the other end of the field. I mean, it was on a lightning streak to the far end. We got back at the bar that night, and the guy asked my partner, Ricky Baumgartner, what do you think of that dog? Ricky said, well, I've never seen a dog get to the other end of the field that fast. Not sure that's a good deal.
$10,000 field tested.
Yep. Yeah.
Hey, look at that dog.
Oh, you should see the bloodlines that thing had. Yeah. Oh, man, that come from the good stock.
You'd have to look quick because the bloodline was as fast as the dog.
Yeah.
So if a guy was going to go hunting in this northeast part of the state, where is the best place to go out in some of the public areas and find a bird?
Just go 500 miles west.
That's about right.
Just kidding. Sorry.
Yeah,
I stole your thunder, Nick.
No, that's good. I mean, there's a lot of phenomenal public areas around here. Whether it be our state game production areas, whether it be our walking areas. If you go a little further west, you can run into some crep areas along the Jim River. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of good federal pieces around here too. But you know, when you're out, if you come across a game production area, make sure you take a look and appreciate what some of our habitat staff do on those areas. There's a lot of...
That is true. There's a lot of work that's been done.
That one north of Henry is phenomenal. That on Medicine Lake Road, that's a great place. It's too bad we don't have many pheasants around, but
sure,
if they ever come back, that's where they'll be. It's a beautiful area in there.
Yeah, we take a lot of pride in that area around that Long Lake complex. It's we spend a lot of time out there. We try some new things, of course, and a lot of times we try to manage those properties in a way that it's conducive to the hunter too. Make sure that it's easy to walk and good breaks so that they'll maybe hold tight towards the end and can flush and give the opportunity, because that's what we're about. We want to provide that opportunity, provide the habitat for the birds to be there, from brooding, from time of hatch all the way through. We've got good winter cover, we've got good summer cover, we've got brood plot mixes, we've got everything out there. And it's not just that one. We've got quite a few right around our immediate area that are just phenomenal. I mean, the thing is this time of year, opening weekend, there's so much corn left. It's in the middle of corn harvest is just kind of getting going. So there's a lot of corn out there. The biggest tip I can give to anybody opening weekend is don't get too antsy. I know it opens at noon, but noon isn't the best hunting by any means.
Yeah.
If you want to wait until 3 o'clock, you're going to save your legs, you're going to save your dogs, you're going to, you know, have a few more laughs and chuckles before.
And they're going to start coming out of the food food source and yep, heading into more accessible areas for some success.
They'll be coming into that state ground for the nice cover. They'll be going right back into there. That'd be the best place time to hunt it, you know.
Yep. No, they definitely come back to roost right towards 5-6 o'clock at night, and you can drastically cut down your hours and the miles on the legs and focus in on certain areas at certain times of the evening, late afternoon, and really do well.
So when we talk about the success that Nick's getting into here, Nick, you know, you can have the best habitat, you could have the best area of South Dakota and the best quarter of land, but weather could have still played a factor, which I'm hearing in the area that we're heading, about half of our ground got smoked by hail.
Sure.
So they need to do the research.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I've experienced this with some of the friends and family that have come out for years and years. You know, historically, some of the areas we used to hunt used to be awesome.
Dempster.
Yeah, Dempster. Yeah. You know, down around that.
You know where Dempster is?
Yes, I do.
down south, yeah, in Hamlin County, some of the areas were just phenomenal.
They were. Nick and I were chatting, just getting ready, you know, to introduce ourselves yesterday. And as a kid, growing up in Dual County, Toronto, hey, we drive 6-7 miles west and get across the interstate, get across the interstate towards Esteline, Dempster. Man, if we got to Badger and Hayti, we could really find the pheasants.
Yeah, and you know, in the last 10, 15, 20 years, land has changed hands. Typically, the kids maybe have now taken over and are starting to run some of the operations, or maybe the land got sold.
So we can't hunt the land that we hunted 10 years ago?
No, absolutely not.
Come on,
no,
Nick. No, I thought no. You were going to give us the go-ahead on that today. We're going to raise all kinds of hell with the landowners.
Yep.
Oh, it's hell when you get on a landowner's land that you're not supposed to be on. I tried that one time.
No, it is important to do your research. You know, figure out what the conditions are. If it's wet, maybe some of your traditional sloughs or CRP ground that you used to walk aren't there anymore. And if you're planning on walking that opening day and you get there and your plan totally changes and you don't have a plan B,
yeah,
it just adds to the frustration, and then you kind of get frantic and then you get frustrated from the get-go. So you gotta have
plan. And then you go, oh, that pheasant hunt in South Dakota wasn't any fun.
Yep.
It's like you didn't do your research.
Exactly.
You didn't go out and do maybe a little bit of scouting. You can't take off at 11:30 and expect great things.
Well,
you might
can,
get lucky.
You can, but you're going to pay for it, and you have to go to the southern
might
part
have
of the state.
Well, you might have to throw a six-pack of beer in the car and go drive around.
You're gonna. There's places that you
can. Oh, wait, that's illegal, too. Gee, for creepers, that's illegal, too.
You can do that in Artists.
I used to.
In the
no,
city of Artists.
No,
you can't do that anywhere else.
No, you can't do that up there either. You know, though, there's a real key to the success of walking with a small group or group of two, and that's Game Fish and Parks maps that they've put out. Not only I still use the paper one, but the app on the iPhone or Droid.
Yeah, absolutely. If you go to our website, if you don't know what Lynn is talking about, we have a link. We have a mobile device app for our mobile device. You can log in through any smartphone and download. It's just an app, and it's an interactive map. It shows real-time GPS where exactly you're at, where our boundaries are of all public land across the state.
Correct. Walk-ins, creps, which will change from year to year. So
absolutely, yep.
You know.
So it is one of the best in the country. We have specific staff in Pierre. Along with our habitat staff here in the Watertown office, we all play a big role in this and getting it updated. And there's even features on there. If you're traveling from out of state, if you're coming from New York or Florida or wherever, you can log into the website and actually look at a specific public area. And our habitat staffs across the state have outlined where tree plantings are and where food plots are. And you can kind of plan your hunt from out of state. You know, I want to start walking here at the truck, make a big loop, maybe eat lunch here on the other end and come back. And you know exactly what you're walking through.
Yep.
On most places.
Absolutely.
It's a phenomenal, phenomenal tool. And it's just amazing how technology has changed hunting. You know, some would argue for the better, some would argue for the worse. But
but
it's a tool, and it makes every hunter better.
All the rules are right at your fingertip. My biggest deal is always the sunrise and sunset table. And
oh, really? Do you always go past?
Well, you never know. I can't remember if it's an hour or a half an hour after.
Oh,
how that goes.
Okay.
If I can see it, I wonder.
Well,
but
with
now
these
you don't
maps,
have to wonder. It's right here.
With these maps, though, you know, what I've experienced over, you know, I mentioned to Neil, I don't mind hitting a public area.
Sure.
They're managed. They're made for two and three people.
I've survived in the pheasant hunting with my friend, his son, and two dogs for quite a few years, not having private land to hunt on. And this may come as to surprise, but we didn't. These first few weekends, very tough to get on private land. So what did we do? We went out and battled with the masses. And the key to our success was going out and doing a little research, driving by a spot that didn't have food around it, driving by one of these areas. If it's just pure grass, good luck. Good
Unless
luck. What are they going to eat? What are they going to drink? You know, you can't have just one. You just can't have the grass. Yeah, you have to have that. But
it's got to be a good mix.
It's got to be a mix. So, you know, you'd find out and you'd pick your poison.
Yep.
And you can do that with the map and with your own just driving around and spending some time and zeroing in on a few areas that are – you can eliminate a lot of stuff, just like fishing. You
yep.
can eliminate a lot of water in fishing. You can eliminate a lot of land in hunting. And,
just by looking, just by thinking.
And your friends and your dogs are going to have a lot better time.
Sure.
Nick?
Yep.
What do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, and when you if you open up an atlas or if you look at the online app and you see the largest tract of public land – you also got to be thinking in the back of your head that maybe somebody else is looking at the same piece.
Everyone else.
Everybody
saw it.
Else. Yes. If you see a lot of tracks going down a two track or parked in an approach and you see some garbage fell out of the truck, somebody might have been there 10 minutes ago and might have walked this. Well, that's where the research comes in. You know, if you're there right away, there might be something that got there ahead of you. So if you had your plan B and you knew that there was another area 2 miles away that was smaller that didn't maybe catch everybody's eye, that might be just as good as the big tract. And
especially, you know, if it's surrounded by a few sunflower seeds or a few, a little bit of corn.
Sure.
Or if they're just combining the corn in that area and there's still some, they might have pushed them into that area.
Yep. And if there's one thing that I want people to take away from at least my experience of pheasant hunting is do a little research and make sure that you have a plan and you're willing to maybe step out of your norm and try some new areas and try some different things and just stay positive, because as soon as you start saying negative things, the hunting and the whole morale of the group just goes down. But everybody's got to remember South Dakota, no matter what the numbers are, is still the best in the nation, and people still come for it.
Yeah.
So that's what we have to remember. It's a
and
tradition.
They're still having a good time.
Absolutely. Yep.
You know, bring one pheasant, bring none. I mean, why is it always have to be about the kill? There's still people out there that can't come home at night unless they have their full limit of walleyes in their box.
Yeah. I know.
And they feel like they've been cheated if they don't. It's like, no.
It's crazy.
What do you do with your fish? Well, you know what? A lot of times we throw them back.
I put mine back in the water.
Yeah. Well, man. Same with a pheasant. Them. You shoot them, you just put them back.
I tried that, and they don't do so well.
Actually, oh, you can't do that.
You know, our state has the best pheasant hunting because our Game Fish and Parks, as much as beating as they get in the media sometimes, puts more money back into our resources than any other state around.
Yeah.
You know, get out and see what these license fees are paying for, because there's some phenomenal areas.
Yeah, well, and they're, you know, they get a big bang for, we get a big bang for our
absolutely.
Buck. Absolutely. You know, they don't pay Nick anything. Look at him. Yeah. He hasn't eaten well.
He doesn't.
I mean, the guy doesn't have to hardly pay any taxes because he doesn't make
like
anything.
It's his last.
Oh, that Nicky D's
oatmeal. We'll save this for next week.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, Nick, we have time for a quick parting shot before we go to news.
No, I just want everybody to go make sure you stay positive, and there are birds out there. I assure you that there's good numbers of birds out there, and remember to stay safe, keep your dogs watered, and just smile and laugh, have fun. That's what it's about. So.
Yeah, point the gun up, everyone.
Yep.
All right, another week of
Don't
On the Water in the Air. We've been with Nick Rossman, Neil Jensen, Lynn Jurens, over to Randy Grimes.